At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You are now listening to the Calcio Corner Podcast with your host, Raffaele.
What's good? This is indeed the Calcio Corner Podcast, where we cover all corners of Italian football and more. My name is Raffaele. I thank you for taking the time to listen to this, the 94th episode of the Calcio Corner Podcast. Please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Be sure to give me a follow on X. My account is at Italiano Calcio. Check the link in my X bio for all the links that you need to support and listen to my podcast. We will start off this 94th episode of the podcast by talking about the second round of the Serie A season. We're going to start with some of the positives, some of the good takeaways from this round. And there's really only one place to start. Last episode, I bashed Napoli for their horrific performance against Verona, and rightfully so. But much to the happiness and joy of Napoli fans, I'm starting off with them as my good, my positive. Major bounce back win, major bounce back result from Napoli at home. They were playing against a tough Bologna side. And I'll be honest, coming into this game, I certainly had my doubts. I was thinking, you know, the last thing that Napoli could have done was lose at home to Bologna. There's not a whole lot of shame in necessarily losing to Bologna per se, especially, you know, compared to their loss against Verona. But you couldn't lose. When you were coming off the performance you did against Verona, losing 3-0 to them, getting completely outplayed, completely embarrassed to start off the Serie A season, this was the only result I felt that Napoli could have gotten. Not just a win, but a convincing win. Sure, any Napoli fan would sign up for a win against Bologna, considering how bad they looked in the first game. Any win they would have taken, but a convincing win like this, that was truly the best result for this Napoli team, those players, for Conte and his staff. They won 3-0 against Bologna. Honestly, Bologna really didn't threaten much. Napoli played a much better game defensively, and you could certainly look to the insertion of Alessandro Buongiorno, who was healthy for this game. He started, played the game, put in a good shift defensively. He is certainly a difference maker in that back line. When this signing was made, I said how much I love this signing. And if you've been following me on social media, you know I'm a big Buongiorno fan, and I think he's a really good defender. And he's one of the best Italian defenders there is. He's one of the best defenders in Serie A. And I don't even think he's hit his ceiling. And that's kind of the scary thing in a positive way for Napoli fans, for Italy fans, that Buongiorno, in my opinion, has so much more room to become an even better defender than he already is. And under Antonio Conte, I think he's with the right coach to really hit that peak, to really reach his maximum level of talent, which again is great news for Napoli fans. It's great news for Italian national team fans. So Buongiorno certainly made a difference defensively, but they just played a really good game. Cavara came to life in this game. It looked like the old Cavara from that Scudetto season. Scored a goal, provided an assist. So that was really great for the Napoli fans. It was actually Giovanni Di Lorenzo right before halftime that got the goal for Napoli. The first goal under the Conte era. They had gone goalless, as we know, against Verona in the opening Serie A game. And the week before that, they played Modena in the Coppa Italia. They went goalless in that game. They went on penalties, but they went goalless. So Napoli were in a little bit of a drought. Obviously, we knew the striker issues with Osimhen and stuff. Not having him certainly makes an impact. So they needed that goal. They needed to take some pressure off of them at home in this game. And it was the captain who stepped up, Giovanni Di Lorenzo, scoring the goal off a nice Cavara assist, a really nice Cavara assist. If you haven't seen it, definitely check that out. And you knew that also had to be a big goal for Di Lorenzo, not just for Napoli as a whole to get that first goal, but for Di Lorenzo, who had just a horrible season when you consider, you know, his poor performances for Italy in the Euro and a lot of the criticism that he got from that tournament, to also, you know, the transfer saga where he wanted to leave Napoli, where especially some of the links that they were, he was being linked to teams like Inter and to Juventus, so, you know, the two rival teams, two teams that Napoli are going to be battling for Champions League spots and stuff like that. So it's just been a really bad summer for Di Lorenzo from all that standpoint. He obviously ended up staying with Napoli and pledging his allegiance to the team and how much he loves the fans and the organization. And to score that goal, that definitely meant a lot to him. You could see him celebrating with the fans and kissing the Napoli logo on his shirt. So really, symbolic in some ways that it was he who scored the first goal for Conte in the Conte era at Napoli, but hell of a performance from Napoli. They really controlled this game. It was a convincing win. It was the win of Napoli from their Scudetto season, that type of caliber. And that was, again, the only result that Napoli could get. A win and a convincing win at that at home. It certainly simmers the heat and tension in Naples. And I promise you, it's extremely hot there in Naples here in late August. But this certainly dials down the temperature, dials down some of the pressure. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, you could go lay a stinker next week before the international break against Parma, who are, we'll talk about a little bit later. They're off to a really good start and playing an impressive, you know, style of game right now. Certainly can't take them lightly and lay an egg in that game, and the pressure will ramp up. But this was a great result for Napoli, great result for Conte. You could see after the Di Lorenzo goal to start things off how much, you know, emotion and passion Conte even let out after that goal on the sidelines with his coaching staff. So just a really great performance, a big win. And, you know, some people may knock Bologna. Look, they lost Calafiore, they lost Joshua Zirkzee, they lost some other players, you know, coaching change and all that. Still a good team, still a dangerous team. But again, Napoli shut them down. And as I said, I think the insertion of Buongiorno really has helped. Defensively, he's definitely going to be a difference maker for them. They really played well, seeing Cavara play well and create goal-scoring chances, create a goal himself was really great. Even David Neres came off the bench for a few minutes to make his Napoli debut, and he provided a late assist on the Giovanni Simeone goal. That was the third and final goal for Napoli. So to even see him come in for a few minutes and make an instant impact, definitely a positive sign. So, you know, Napoli fans, what a difference of emotions from round one to round two. It's a complete 180 from what you were feeling the first week, that loss against Verona, to where you're now kind of flying high after this big win over Bologna. So definitely a big positive and a shout out to Napoli to start off this episode. All right, definitely have to show some love for one of the goods, one of the positives from this round to Genoa. What an outstanding job that Alberto Gilardino has been doing with this team. Off to a good start. They drew against Inter to start off the season against the defending champions. Hard fought draw and much earned draw against Inter. This weekend, they beat Monza in Monza 1-0. You know, you look at Genoa, the players know that for the most part, the best players in time are going to get plucked away from this team. But this summer, we saw Genoa sell two of their best players, Matteo Retegi and Albert Gudmundsson. Definitely two key pieces, especially Gudmundsson, the offensive production he provided, goals and assists. Retegi, obviously a really good player himself. To lose both of those, that's definitely got to be a bit of a blow and feel like a blow in that locker room to some of those players. But they've gotten off to a good start. That's credit to these players, the resiliency of these players, the amount of work they're putting in on a daily basis in training. Also the big credit to Alberto Gilardino. He's really blossoming into a really good coach. He took this team up from Serie B to Serie A 2 years ago, had a pretty good season with them last year, only two games in, but off to a really good start. Again, 4 points, win this round, a draw against Inter last weekend. It doesn't get much better than that. If you told Genoa that they would come away with 4 points out of these first two games, I think they would have signed up in a heartbeat. They've played really good. As I said, they sold Gudmundsson and Retegi. That has not been an issue. They've scored 3 goals in these two games. The player that scored the winning goal against Monza was Andrea Pinamonti, the player they brought in from Sassuolo to, you know, replace essentially the goals that they lost at Retegi and Gudmundsson. So, you know, good first start to the season for Pinamonti, making his first start for Genoa this season. Good result for Genoa. Definitely off to a really good start. And they, you know, they look like a fun team. One definitely to watch, and certainly Alberto Gilardino, who he was linked to moves away from Genoa. He had some interest from, you know, some quote-unquote bigger clubs in Italy. He decided to stay at Genoa and continue on with this project, continue on with his growth as a coach at Genoa. And so far, it's looking like it's paying off. But definitely, you could see Alberto Gilardino as possibly being one of those next Italian coaches that is going to garner a lot more attention from some bigger club in Italy or perhaps even abroad. Another positive that I wanted to touch upon was Parma. Now, we'll talk about the Milan aspect a little bit later on in this podcast, but man, Parma came to play against Milan. If you did not see that game and you have a way to watch it on replay, if you're, you know, based in the United States and have a subscription with Paramount Plus, or I'm not sure if you're able to watch replays abroad in other countries, how it works with TV deals and licensing rights in other countries. But if you did not see that Parma-Milan game, I would highly encourage you to watch it. That was a hell of a performance from Parma. A really fun display from them at home early season, you know, second game of the season. It was just really fun to watch them play. They were stringing together some sequences of passing that, you know, would have made, you know, Barcelona in their prime blush when they had guys like Iniesta and Xavi and Messi there. It was just really unbelievable to watch them passed that ball around, and they were so deadly on the counterattack. Honestly, Milan are lucky that Parma only managed to put two goals in, because they could have easily scored three or four goals. Dennis Mann balled out. I put it out on social media. I said he's a certified baller. He had a good Euro for Romania, if you remember. And he's kind of kept that momentum, kept that mojo going. And he really put in a great game. He scored the opening goal of the game in the first minute or so. Really good player. You could definitely see that he's one that's going to get attention from bigger clubs in Europe. A couple of other positive players for that team. Mihaila, another good performance from him. Bernabe, the number 10 for them in the midfield, pulling the strings. He did a really good job as well in this game. Just a fun team to watch. Zion Suzuki, the 10 million euro signing that they brought in from the Japanese goalie that they brought over this summer. He's had a good game, and he's put in some good performances for Parma so far. Big investment for that club over the summer. But a hell of a performance from Parma. Really, other than one spell in that first half where Milan were threatening in on goal, this was all Parma. They definitely outplayed Milan. This isn't one of those games where it's like, Milan outplayed Parma, just unlucky, and Parma caught some breaks. No, Parma came to play. They did play, put in a hell of a performance, got a young team, so a lot of room to grow for this team. Watching this performance, watching them play even last week, but more so this week, they really got me more excited to watch them going forward this season. Like, I am definitely much more intrigued. I'll watch every Serie A game, it doesn't matter. But they definitely piqued my interest more, and I definitely can't wait to watch more of this team play. And I hope they're able to keep playing with this style, with this confidence, and they don't kind of get bruised and battered as the long season goes on. But hey, enjoy it while it's going. Parma put in a hell of a performance against Milan, and no doubt they deserve to be mentioned among, you know, the good and positive from this week. Another positive from this weekend certainly has to be thrown towards Torino's way. They got a big win at home against Atalanta, a good Atalanta side that we know, Champions League qualification, Europa League winning Atalanta, a good team that put together a massive 4-0 win over Lecce in the opening game. This was really one of those intriguing games on the schedule in round two, and one of the key games I was paying attention to. Torino, we know they drew against Milan, which was certainly a good result for Torino, but considering they were up 2-0 and blew that game late to allow Milan to come away with a draw, I really wanted to see how this Torino team would respond after blowing that game to Milan, right? They felt like they were going to the San Siro and going to take 3 points from Milan, ended up walking away with just 1 point. So I was curious to see, would they be a little deflated? Would they come out a little flat? It was actually Atalanta who scored the first goal. Matteo Retegi scored his third goal of the season for Atalanta in just two games. So he's off to a really good start. So to see Torino fall behind in that game, it started to creep more in my head, like thinking like, okay, there might be this hangover effect from the disappointment of, you know, dropping those points against Milan late. But to Torino's credit, they came back. Ilic, you know, just a few minutes after that Retegi goal, scored a beautiful goal to level things at 1-1. And then they went on to get the game winner later in that game in beating Atalanta 2-1, beating a good Atalanta side. Again, not a fully loaded Atalanta team. They're still missing players due to injuries and transfer rumors, but still, that's not necessarily an excuse. Obviously, in Atalanta and Gasperini, those players would be the first to tell you it's not an excuse. You got to give all the credit to Torino. They've looked good. They're certainly a different team than what we're used to the past couple seasons. Playing under Ivan Juric, his style is so much different than their current coach, Paolo Vanoli, who is certainly not a household name coach. He's the coach that took Venezia up from Serie B to Serie A this past season. And he left Venezia to coach at a bigger club like Torino this season. It certainly was one of the big intriguing hires of the summer, and exciting to see what Vanoli could do with this Torino team, how he could transform them. And so far, in just a short time, I mean, he's certainly making his impact on this team. They're a little bit more of a attacking team than we're used to. They're a little bit more of a fun team, perhaps, to watch. I think Duvan Zapata is really liking life under Vanoli, even like a guy like Samuele Ricci and a few other players you could really start to see are really settling in nicely early on under Vanoli. So it's certainly a good storyline to follow. Torino, 4 points through two games. They were so close to getting 6 points to start the season. When you consider, though, they had to play at the San Siro against Milan, playing against Atalanta, that's a tough opening start to the season, and to come away with 4 points and playing good football, playing nice calcio, appealing on the eyes and stuff, it's nice to see. So that was definitely another positive from this weekend in Serie A. And my final positive I want to shout out this week is Juventus. They won 3-0 against Verona in Verona. good win for Juventus. Another easy win, just like they beat Como last week, 3-0. So two wins so far to start the season under Thiago Motta. 6 goals scored, 0 goals conceded. Also integrating some young players, as I mentioned, on social media. So really just as great and perfect of a start as you would want if you're a Juventus fan and to start this new era at the club. I always say you could only play who's on your schedule. And so far, Juventus have been fortunate enough to have somewhat of an easy start playing again Como and Verona, not exactly the stiffest of competition, but they've won each game and they won each game easily. Again, 3-0 results in each game. If this was the Juventus of the past couple seasons under Allegri, these are games that maybe they sweat out 1-0 victories and, you know, have to suffer and really fight through the full 90 minutes to try to, you know, eke out this win. Or maybe it's a game they slip up in and end up drawing or losing when you think about these teams of the past. But certainly we're seeing a great start from Juventus. Thiago Motta, really good start. I still do want to see how this Juventus team stacks up against some of the better competition in Serie A. But again, like I said, you can only play who's on your schedule. Next week, they do play Roma, and we'll talk about Roma in a little bit. They're certainly not off to a great start, but it's no doubt a step up in class in terms of who they're competing against compared to a Como or Verona. Roma's definitely a step up, so we'll see how Juventus looks against them. But so far, it's been great for Juventus. They're still, you know, trying to work in some of their new signings, still trying to make a couple of signings, so there's still more help on the way for this Juventus team, and they're doing it with some young guys, guys from the next-gen team, which is great to see if you're a Juventus fan. You always love to see that homegrown talent, if you will, kind of come through the system and able to perform for the senior team and be productive, and that's what they've gotten so far in these first two games. So unbelievable start for Juventus to the season. Perfect start if you're a Juve fan. Great start for Thiago Motta settling in at Juve. All right, shifting gears from the positives to the negatives from this past weekend in Serie A. Certainly Roma have to be mentioned among those negatives, the disappointments. They lost 2-1 against Empoli, first home game of the season. You know, you want to see how they respond after the draw against Cagliari. Playing the first game at home, coming off the news that Dybala is going to stay with Roma after it looked like he was going to make a move to the Middle East. So you're right in the high of Dybala staying, first home game. You know, you're unleashing your new trident of attack for the first time this season with Mattia Sole, with Dovbeck, with Dybala. It seemed like all the signs were pointing towards a big Roma performance, a big win at home against Empoli, an Empoli team that has never beaten Roma in Rome. So that now is done. Empoli could say that they have officially done that in their history. And you lay an egg if you're Roma. Really disappointing performance from them. Even when you go back to the Cagliari game, it's been a really lackluster team so far and start to the season for this Roma side. They've scored just one goal in these two games and just have 1 point to show. And if you're a Roma fan and you see you start the season against Cagliari and Empoli, and not to knock those teams, you know, they certainly are an organized, they're both organized teams. They're both teams that have some individual talent. And I always say there's no such thing as an easy game in Serie A. But if you're a Roma fan and you were told at the start of the season that you were going to come away with just 1 point when you saw that you were starting with Cagliari and Empoli, you would have been extremely disappointed. And that's how Roma fans have to feel. You would have really honestly thought that 6 points was much more than an achievable result. Worst case, you come away with 4 points, but to be coming away with just 1 point in these two games, and not just the 1 point, but they have not looked good, like I said, in these two games. Yes, they got some new pieces. They're still trying to figure things out. Defense has always been kind of a question with this team. Svilar was, you know, a pleasant surprise last season when he took over for Rui Patricio in goal. Really performed well, young goalie still, and so far he's, you know, struggling a little bit in this season, especially this Empoli game. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to mention with Roma, my biggest question and my biggest concern with this team coming into this season was just how much would this team perform under Daniele De Rossi? How good of a coach is De Rossi? And I know when he took over for Jose Mourinho in the middle of the season last year, he provided a jolt. He provided a spark and really inspired and ignited this team and infused passion into this team, into the Roma, you know, fans and everything. They were really disappointed and demoralized a bit by how the season was going under Jose Mourinho. And De Rossi provided that spark. He turned things around and Roma went on a run. And when you start winning games and you start playing well, that good feel, that confidence could propel you to make a nice run and maybe outperform the talent on your team and win games that maybe you wouldn't have won previously. And what I was concerned about was you obviously have the summer break, all that momentum, any spark that De Rossi provided that team when he came in, that ended once that season ended and once the summer break hit. And I was curious to see how would this team start up? How would they respond to De Rossi? I'm not knocking Daniele De Rossi. He did an outstanding job last season turning things around for Roma. And I do think he could be a good coach. But from the little bit that we've seen from him as a coach at Spal, his track record is not very good. He did not have a successful stint at Spal. So, you know, coming into the season, I think we're going to kind of figure out a little bit more of just exactly who the coach Daniele De Rossi is, just how good of a coach is he. Again, I'm not saying that this season defines the type of coach that De Rossi will be, but I really am intrigued to see how this team performs. They got off to a slow start. It is not the be-all, end-all. Roma fans should not be hitting the panic button after just two games, but at the same time, you can certainly be disappointed, a little concerned, and I'm just curious, how does De Rossi get this team to turn around? How does he turn things around? Just how good of a coach is he? That magic, that spark that he provided, like I said, when he came in last season, that ended once the season ended. Now it's going to come down to, you know, how good of a coach is he when it comes to drawing up tactics, planning for his next opponent, in-game adjustments he makes from the sidelines. How well can his players go out there and execute? That good feeling when he took over, that's gone. It's going to come down to more the X's and O's and the execution now for De Rossi, for this Roma team this season, and it'll be interesting to see how they kind of, you know, get up from this slow start. All right, so we touched upon the, you know, the positive from that Parma-Milan game. We talked about the great performance put in by Parma. The negative, obviously, Milan. This is now two games out the gate for Milan that they have not looked good in. They were outplayed by Torino. They were lucky to come away with a draw in that game, and they were outplayed by Parma, and they did not deserve to win this game, and they ended up losing 2-1. Pulisic did provide a goal, and there was a nice assist from Rafael Leao. If you're a Milan fan, this is about as bad as it gets. You know, 1 point through two games, and I'm not going to knock Torino. I think they're on their best day. If you're not prepared to play Torino, you're probably going to drop points against them, and that's what happened last week with Milan. They were far from their best. They did not show up for that game, and Torino, you know, they probably left that game very disappointed that they didn't take all 3 points and that they had to settle for 1 point. So if you don't show up against Torino, you're probably dropping points, and that's what Milan did. Parma, I don't care that this game was in Parma. If you're Milan and you want a challenge for a Scudetto, you believe that you are definitely a team that's going to finish in Champions League qualification, you got to go beat Parma. You have to take all 3 points, especially after dropping points at home against Torino to start the season. And for you to lose this game, it's just a tough pill to swallow if you're a Milan fan. As it is, I touched upon this a little bit last week on my episode. If you're a Milan fan, you already weren't, most Milan fans, I shouldn't say all, but most, were not enamored with the hiring of Paolo Fonseca. They almost felt like they were getting the same level or same caliber coach to some extent as the guy they just fired in Stefano Pioli. So Fonseca, you're already coming in with less than an excited fan base about your appointment, and now you start the season with just 1 point and really not even looking like there's an identity, looking outplayed in two games against two inferior opponents. If you told me Milan started with 1 point through the first two games and, you know, on their schedule was Inter and Juve, okay, that's a different story. But at the same time, those are the teams you're theoretically competing for the Scudetto with, so you want to get wins against them, but you could understand that. But you're starting the season with 1 point against Torino and Parma. No disrespect to them. They've proven that they could play. That, again, as a Milan fan, that's got to be tough to swallow, tough to accept, and that's not a great start for Paolo Fonseca. There's already going to be, you know, the clamoring and criticism coming his way and people critiquing the, again, from when he was first hired, and now he's just given those fans, those loud fans, more ammunition to criticize this move, criticize this team. It's just a bad start. Milan got to figure it out. I know they haven't been playing with 100%. Alvaro Morata came on as a second half substitute against Torino. Unfortunately, he got injured, so he's going to be out for a few weeks, so he wasn't available in this game. So you've essentially played two games, more or less, without your primary striker in Morata. Guys like Fofana, Emerson Royal, they came on as second half substitutes in this game for Parma, so they're starting to integrate those players into the team. So I know they haven't necessarily had a full complement of players in terms of some of their summer signings, but that's still no excuse to perform the way you have in these two games. You still got unbelievably talented players like Rafael Leao, like Noah Okafor, not unbelievably talented, but a good player. You still have Christian Pulisic. You still got some really good talent throughout that team. And for you to be dropping these type of points and putting in these poor performances, you're getting outplayed again. It's one thing to drop points. It's another thing to drop points because you're just getting massively outplayed. And when you look at the Torino game and the Parma game, Milan have been dramatically outplayed in each game. And there's very little to take away from a positive standpoint if you're a Milan fan from each game. And that's very disappointing, I would imagine, for Rossoneri fans. And to come out and start the season this way, it's about as it gets for Milan. All right, now on to buy or sell to cover some of the storylines and rumors that have been dominating the Italian media in the world of football. Number one buy or sell it, Romelu Lukaku is a good signing for Napoli. 100% have to buy this. At the time of this recording, the deal is not official yet, but all reports say that Lukaku is on his way to signing with Napoli. Chelsea and Napoli have agreed to a deal that essentially is about 30 million euro Napoli will pay for him. And it seems to be a mixture of either percentage of a future sale or perhaps up to 15 million in bonuses. Whether those bonuses are tied to that percentage of a sale, like the maximum from a future sale is 15 million, I'm not sure. But fact of the matter is, deal seems to be done. Everything seems to be in place for it to happen. But I definitely buy this as a good signing for Napoli. The track record between he and Conte together at Chelsea, at Inter, speaks for itself. They've had success at both destinations. Lukaku's put together some really good productive seasons with under Conte at Chelsea, under Conte at Inter. So there's, you know, obviously different systems, different teams. There's a lot of other factors that are different from when their time was together at those other two places compared to now at Napoli. But at least together, they've had success. There's really no reason to necessarily believe that they can't replicate some sort of success at Napoli. But also, from the standpoint of, if you're Napoli, you hired Conte. He was the big fish that you wanted to reel in, and you reeled him in. You were, like, pulling hard on that fishing rod, trying to reel in this great white shark, if you will, that was Conte, and you struggled. And there was time that the fish was pulling back, and you kept pulling, and you eventually reeled him in. You gave him a lot of money to come coach your team. You know the, you know, extra stuff, if you will, that comes along with hiring a coach like Antonio Conte. His personality, his demands, his demeanor, the things he'll say through the press, through the media and interviews and whatnot. So, but you wanted him if you're De Laurentiis in this organization, this club. You wanted Conte. You got Conte. You gave him all that money to be your coach, to hopefully be the guy that could help fix this Napoli team that was so broken last season and try to get back to that success that they experienced two seasons ago winning the Scudetto. When you bring in a coach like Antonio Conte and you pay him the money you are, you essentially have to go out and try to do your best to get the players that he wants, that he feels would put him in the best position to be successful. And Romelu Lukaku was that striker. So you essentially had no choice but to go get him. And for the most part, Chelsea knew that. They knew how desperate Napoli were to sign him. They knew how much they wanted him. When you look at, you know, their struggles in that first game of the Serie A season, when you think about the Coppa Italia game against Modena, they weren't even able to muster up a goal. So Chelsea knew that they needed to sign Lukaku, that Napoli needed to sign Lukaku. And again, when you bring in a coach like Conte, you, to some extent, have to acquiesce to his demands and to his players. And that's not something that necessarily De Laurentiis is used to doing or likes to do. But I think De Laurentiis kind of had some egg on his face from last season and realizes that maybe he does need some help. He doesn't know everything, you know, through and through. You know, certain coaches you bring in, you could dictate the players. You could, you know, to not to put anyone down, but to a lower level coach, if you hire someone like that, you could kind of say, no, keep quiet. These are the players we're getting you. These are the players we have. Make it work. When you bring in a coach like Conte, it's slightly different. Conte is definitely going to be able to swing it around a little, you know, pound his fist on the table and demand certain players. And he knows that he kind of has that power with Napoli, that Napoli were desperate to bring him in. So I definitely think it's a good move. It's a good buy. Napoli need a striker with, you know, the imminent departure, you would think, of Victor Osimhen. They need someone that could hold up the play, hold up the ball, get players like Kvara, get players like Raspadori, get players like Politano, any of these players, David Neres, on the wing, get them involved and link up that play between the midfield and the attack. Lukaku, you know, he's been productive in Italy with Inter. He had a pretty good season with Roma last year. He's obviously getting older. He's not getting younger. That, unfortunately, nobody gets younger. But he's a good player. He's proven he could score in Italy. He's proven he could carry teams in Italy. He's proven that he's productive and successful in Antonio Conte's system. The two know each other, so there's no surprises. Sometimes some players maybe struggle playing for a coach like Conte. We know that's not the issue with Lukaku. They have a great rapport. They know exactly what they're getting from each other. And like I said, when you hire a guy like Conte, you have to kind of meet his demands. You can't fully dictate the players that he's going to have to make it work with. He's going to get to have that power, have some say, and bring in some players that he wants. So, yeah, 100% buy this. Great signing for Napoli, bringing in Romelu Lukaku. All right, number two, buy or sell it. Raul Bellanova to Atalanta is a good signing. 100% buying this one. This was one of those moves when I first heard it, when I first heard Atalanta being linked to Bellanova. Instantly in my head, I said, this is an amazing signing. This is a grand slam, you know, hit. It's an amazing slam dunk. It's one of those signings that, again, when I heard it, I instantly think, yeah, this is a great move. It's not one of those that I kind of got to, you know, feel out, be like, eh, let me see if I could talk myself into this one. 100% buying this one. Belanova, I think he's a vastly underrated and underappreciated player. I'm not saying he's by any means this prolific player, but I think he's underappreciated, especially playing in a team like Torino that, for the most part, the past couple seasons under Ivan Juric, prefer to play a little bit more defensive, whereas Belanova is really good at getting up and down that field and helping to come forward and attack as a wingback. My instant thought, too, when they were linked to him, and now obviously that move is official, Belanova is with Atalanta, I just thought about, you have Belanova playing on the right side, and you have Matteo Ruggeri, another player that I'm really high in that I don't think gets his praise or his flowers thrown at him for the type of player he is and what type of player impact, you know, he makes for Atalanta. You have Ruggeri on the left. So you have those two unbelievable wingbacks that love to get forward and can create an attack. We saw Ruggeri with an assist this season already. He's really good at crossing that ball in. Now you have him on the left, Belanova on the right. I think that's a deadly combination for Gasperini to play around with. And both of these wingbacks are 6'2". Both of them are listed at 6'2". While they're slighter frame players, they're not exactly like big, bulky guys, but they got pretty good size, and they're going to cause a lot of trouble as a combination as wingbacks. I really can't wait to see Belanova play for Atalanta. We know he has killer speed. He loves, as I said, to get down that field and come forward and help in attack. I think this is a good step for him in terms of his growth for his career, his maturation. I think, you know, if he could elevate his game and take that next step, it'll also be a big boost for him with his standing with the Italian national team. One of many puzzling things that I came away with after that Euro disappointment for Italy this summer was how Belanova never saw a minute in any game. Like, you couldn't find, considering how many lineup changes you made and how much Italy was struggling, especially defensively. I don't want to throw Di Lorenzo under the bus. I'm a big fan of his, but he was, you know, horrible. He was getting torched in that Spain game, as everybody knows. With all the struggles Italy had in that Euro, Spalletti could not find a way to put Belanova on the field. He made the team. You couldn't find any minutes for him. So I hope that Belanova gets a look with the national team again. Obviously, like I said, he was on that Euro squad, but he never saw any playing time. I just love this signing for Atalanta. I think he's a great fit. He's a perfect fit for Gasperini and his system. Again, I think he and Ruggeri on the wings could absolutely wreak havoc. And if, you know, Matteo Retegui is already off to a good start, 3 goals in 2 games, eventually they'll get Scamacca back later in the season. You have some other threatening players in attack, like Charles de Cantelier. You have Zaniolo. So if I'm one of these other offensive players playing more in the central position in attack, and I know that I got Ruggeri and Belanova coming flying down the wings and willing to do a lot of the heavy running and stretch the field and can whip that ball in for a good cross. If I'm like someone, like I said, like Retegui, my eyes are lighting up with the thought of having these two playing on the wings in those wingback positions and just causing so much havoc up and down the sidelines of those fields. So 100% buy this. I think it's an unbelievable signing for Atalanta, getting Belanova. So that will do it for the 94th episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. I hope you have enjoyed it. Once again, please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Feel free to leave a rating and comment. That would be greatly appreciated to help us grow. Feel free to spread the word of the Calcio Corner podcast to any friends or family members that you think would enjoy a Calcio-centric podcast. And until next time, guys, ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele. If you've enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time. In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.